All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is, it's approximately 2 o'clock on Monday, December 9th, 2013. This is the date and time scheduled for the Utah State Tax Commission meeting. I'm Commissioner Johnson. With me is Commissioner Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Pirro, our Executive Director, Barry Conover, and our Executive Assistant, Krista Johnson, is taking the minutes. We also have some people, or at least one person, participating by phone, and we have several folks in the audience. At this point, it's the time set aside for public comment. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to address the commission? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to item three, which is to consider approving the commission meeting minutes of Thursday, October 24th. Do I have a motion on those minutes?
This is Commissioner Dixon. I do have a, I will make a motion to approve them, but I was, just before I came down, I was listening to the audio to make sure that I hadn't missed maybe making a correction in here, but I don't think it was this meeting. But there was a previous meeting where I asked that the property tax division come back at a future time and explain some information on the personal property tax valuations and how that process works. And I just wanted to note that again, the record. I thought it was with this meeting, but I didn't really get a chance to finish. I remember that Herb Jenkins was here, and he said any time. And I just thought maybe it was this meeting, but I didn't get a chance to listen to it in the record. So anyway, wherever it is, it's in the oral record. So with that, I will move to approve the minutes of October 24th, 2013.
All right, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously. Denny, you might want to talk to Herb and get with Commissioner Dixon and make sure you understand exactly what's being requested there.
I do understand the request. I probably made an incorrect assumption that we would simply be put on the agenda to do that, and we are more than willing to do that at any time.
We will do that. I just wanted to make sure that it was in the written record if it was this meeting, but regardless, it's going to be in the oral record of whatever meeting it's in. That's all I was trying to say, and I'll get with you on that. Thanks.
Okay, the next item is item number four. 4A, consider amending administrative rules. The first one is taxable household furnishings. Commissioner Pirro?
Yes, that rule number is R884-24P-29. The proposed amendment updates the rule to match statutory changes in 2013 HB 67. The proposed amendment clarifies that household furnishings, furniture and equipment that meet the definition of qualifying exempt primary residential rental personal property under section 59-2-102 qualify for primary residential exemption and are valued for property tax purposes by calculating the value of the personal property using the tables in Tax Commission Rule R884-24P-33 and multiplying that value by 0.55. Now, we have had one comment during the comment period. The comment was from Cache County Assessor, who requested additional guidance on the expansion of the primary residential exemption to certain personal property as a result of 2013 HB 67. The property tax division director has had conversations with the Cache County Assessor, and they have agreed to address her concerns in a property tax standard. The division and the assessor are currently working on a standard which will be in place by January 1st, 2014, the effective date of the 2013 HB 67. Denny, would you or Lynn like to say anything more on that?
Just that we believe that we have addressed Kathleen's concerns, and she is fine with that being in standard. The standard will not address policy types of issues. It would simply be administrative to make the new law work. And it's almost ready. We will have that in place by January 1st.
Commissioners?
Any questions for Commissioner Pirro? Okay, seeing none.
I would like to make a motion that we approve this amendment, and just note that this becomes effective January 1st, 2014.
We have a motion before us. All in favor, say aye.
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 That motion passes unanimously. Item 4B is the Farmland Assessment Act Valuation Guides for 2014. Commissioner Dixon.
Okay, I'll make it my last act of the Farmland Assessment Advisory Committee as chair, just noting that that's an appointment of the commission chair, and the appointment of chair of the Farmland Advisory Committee will be moving to my fellow commissioner, Robert Pirro. So before we have the valuation guidelines for 2014, let's make it very clear in the record that although our executive assistant is very efficient and gets these rules effective within one day, this rule needs to be effective as of January 1, 2014, because we already have a rule in place for 2013. So we need to make sure that that's clear, and I'll be doing that with the motion. Just prior to me making a motion on this, I want to make sure I've completed the circle. Again, these values in these tables, and in this rule we have, 12 tables. These values come from the process of the Farmland Advisory Committee takes in under advisement a report from Utah State University. That report looks at values in 2012, in a 2013 report for a 2014 year. So I just want to make sure it's very clear in the record. These are values based upon production levels of 2 years ago, but that's the only way to get the best data possible. There's a lot of information that goes into deriving those values by Utah State University. The advisory committee takes that report and either decides whether to recommend those values to the full commission. That process happened. And we have minutes, written minutes, and we also have audio of both of those meetings. Those were public meetings. That audio of those meetings in October, the 1st of October, and the audio are on our Tax Commission website. And it's just really important, because of the Open and Public Meetings Act, we made sure to approve the minutes that had to do with when the committee recommended these values to the commission, so that there's no question that the committee recommended these values to the commission. This has been open to the public under the rule publication requirements. To my knowledge, we've received no comments. So with that, I would make a recommendation that we adopt Rule R88424P-53, 2014 Valuation Guides for Valuation of Land Subject to the Farmland Assessment Act, effective January 1, 2014.
Are there any questions for Commissioner Dixon? Any discussion of the motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously.
Okay, and just for the record, just want to thank the advisory committee for the time they put in to serve and make sure those values are getting the scrutiny they deserve on behalf of the farmers and ranchers and wool growers and everyone else involved in those rules. Thank you.
So just to make it abundantly clear, those rules have already been noticed. They've had public comments, so they are now effective as of the effective dates indicated on each of those rules. Very good. Item 5 on the agenda, I believe that's also yours, Commissioner Dixon.
All right, I'm going to have our internal auditor, Director of Internal Audit, Amanka Dia, just come up to the stand here. We have two internal audit reports that have been provided to you as commissioners, fellow commissioners. At this time, I'm the supervising commissioner over the internal audit unit. The internal audit unit is a function of the Office of the Commission. And although these are given by number and name on the agenda, I just want to make sure it's clear in the public record that they are considered confidential records. They're privileged records because they involve how we operate some of our proceedings and involve audit issues. But for the purposes of the public, we do note the names of them on here. The first one is the Internal Audit Report number 2013-02, Review of Procedures and Internal Controls over Decal Plate Inventory and Cash Handling Process at Division of Motor Vehicle. And the second one is Internal Audit Report number 2013-03, Review of Motor Vehicle Administration System Access Agreement for the Motor Vehicle Division. And I just want to take a point of personal privilege on this. One of the items that happens when we start developing an internal audit plan for each year is that the Director of Internal Audit sends an email to all the division directors and to our Executive Director, Barry Conover. I think it also goes to the Deputy Director, asking if there's anything that the division feels needs some review. And as always, I just commend the divisions for recommending some items that they think need additional eyes. There's one viewpoint, which is I've never seen an audit I didn't like, meaning I'd rather find the problems and correct them before they become maybe a bigger public problem. And I think this is an example of this where the Division of Motor Vehicle put forward two items they wanted to review. So again, I would encourage all our divisions to look internally and see where is there a place that you think the internal audit could be useful in finding issues that you can correct on that. So the commission's been giving those reports. I just have our internal auditor here to answer any questions that you might have, either in explaining maybe the process that was being reviewed, answering any questions about terms in the report or anything else.
Are there any questions for Commissioner Dixon or for Mr. Gudilla?
Mr. Gudilla, do you have anything that you'd like to say to the commissioners about the report?
Thank you very much, Commissioner Dixon. First of all, my partner in crime has left me again.
Mr. Gudilla, why don't you just identify yourself for the record?
Aman Gudilla, Director of Internal Audit for the Utah State Tax Commission.
Sorry.
First of all, my assistant, Drew Hildenbrand, has left, and now I'm back to square one. I've got to start, recruiting another auditor, and hopefully I'm lucky this time. I mean, he was hired in February of this year, trained, and I was ready to go on the full-blown since year 2014, and he found a better opportunity, so he left. Based on that, I did send memos to all the directors of the commission to let me know what kind of area they would like me to audit or the internal audit unit to audit. These two audits, which are here, they were part of that request from the Division of Motor Vehicle. And if there are any questions, then I'm willing to answer all the, questions. They answer the questions.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can just take a minute and just put into the record this review of procedures and internal controls over decal plate inventory and cash handling. And the other one on the administration system access agreement. One of the items that the Division of Motor Vehicle has done really well is trying to do these public-private partnerships. And the reason that this internal audit was so important was because that is technically property of the Tax Commission, But dealers are given through these agreements the ability to provide the decals for the back of the license plate. So it's a convenience to the taxpayer. It's a convenience to the car Correct. Owner. And that we want to be doing that. We want to be trying to find a way to do innovative processes. But at the same time, we have to make sure that it's being done correctly. One of the items in this is that in involves some work with the other members of the Attorney General's office to do some additional work with this internal audit. So we want to thank other members of the Attorney General's office as well. But these are important functions that required even looking at our relationship with outside vendors. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
That is true.
I think that's an excellent point, and I think Utah, and you can correct me, Mr. Conover, but I think Utah probably leads the nation in the amount of this process that's actually provided outside of the tax commissioner, provided by third-party vendors in some way, and many states have indicated they're envious of Utah for our ability to do that, but their sticking point is that they're afraid to give up control to the third party. And obviously part of our willingness to give up any control to third parties is dependent on a very vigorous set of internal controls and internal auditing. So this is a crucial part of that whole program. And I appreciate your work on that. Director Conover, anything you want to?
Yeah, yes, Barry Conover, Executive Director, Tax Commission. You know, it's we are one, like you said, Mr. Chairman, we are one of the only state that really goes out full bore and has solicited participation with the private vendors. We also have some very high standards and requirements for those that participate, and they are audited not only from the division but also from the internal audit. 54% of all of our registration renewals come through online transactions, and we have over 600 stations, inspection stations throughout the state that renew vehicles, and that is an outstanding number. And we have staff that looks at that. We have the internal auditor that looks at it. We also want to make sure that our dealers, as Commissioner Dixon has mentioned, it's a vital part of their responsibility. They've been given a little more opportunity, those in the new car environment, where they can actually license and put decals on those vehicles as well. So, and we audit them regularly, and it's a convenience. It's also a business program that they use, and they don't want to lose it, so they stick close to the rules. And so, yes, we're blessed to have a far-thinking division that in motor vehicle that has looked at this and made it work.
One other perhaps correction for the record. Is it Mr. Hildebrand?
Yes.
I'm prepared to acknowledge he left for a more remunerative position.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared to accept that he left for a better position.
Right. I thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Commissioner Dixon. I was going to follow up on that as well. So,
I believe this is an action item.
It is. Mr. Cadilla, are you ready for a motion? Are you okay? Or do you want to add anything else about these
One
audits?
One thing I would like to mention, that along with these, you know, services we provide to the third party, there is also, we do an audit of uninsured motorists, you know, the third-party company which monitors the uninsured motorists and deal with the DMV. We used to do an audit of their records to make sure that they are performing their work properly every year. But then because of the legislature intent, they change it to 3 years, every 3 years. So that's another service which, or the area which we, the internal audit unit, audit them.
That's correct.
And we are proud of it, that we are doing a very professional job in that. And most of them, I have done it, so.
And they are professional.
And it looks like you might be doing it again.
Richard Costeller.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I move acceptance of Internal Audit Reports 2013-02 and 20-13-03.
All in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, it is true, we have had three internal auditors at one point during the history of the commission with the downturn in the economy. When one retired, one did not, the position was not filled. And then when Mr. Vance left to join our executive director's team on the operations side, Mr. Cadilla moved up to Director of Internal Audit, and we filled it with Mr. Hildebrandt, and then Mr. Hildebrandt, who was expecting a brand new baby, and felt that the draw of the additional money from the private sector might be the right thing at that time. So it's difficult to compete with the funds in the private sector, but as you said, there are many benefits to being a member of the state of Utah.
Thank you very much.
We had three internal auditors that were together just about forever. We had three economists that were together just about forever. We've now had significant turnover in both of those areas, and I'm afraid that's a reality of the new millennium for the Tax Commission as we try with less and less success to compete with the private sector in terms of retaining highly qualified individuals.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Conover, Executive Director's Report.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alma.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been out of the office most of the day attending meetings on the Hill and at the League of Cities and Towns. I just returned from the meeting with the League and their Legislative Council. There's about 50 people there. I presented to them the discussion that we'll be raising the administrative fee from 0.8 to 0.95 on the sales tax. Had a good discussion. There was no one that took exception to that. There were representatives from every major city and a lot of the intermediate cities as well, and they thought that we were doing a good job in collecting. And Commissioner, or Mayor Dolan wants me to come out and help him defend his budget, so whatever that means. Anyway, it went well, and we will be increasing that rate to come February 1. We'll be sending out a letter to all of the jurisdictions and notifying them of that date. None of them had any questions or any concerns about that. Last week, we had a very successful assessor school, as usual, put on by the Property Tax Division. A lot of people were there, and there was a lot of good information shared. Technology is kind of the leading path in that organization with the counties as well as our division, and we'll be looking at augmenting some of the hardware that our staff currently has with additional hardware to meet some of their appraisal needs, mostly in the area of iPads. Just to give you folks an update, and thanks to Krista, we are starting the hearing room restructuring, and we have some of the bids in, and we'll be moving forward with that restructuring, including blinds. We're taking a look at the lighting. We'll be changing the physical structure of the dais and so forth. We'll be putting in a new video and audio technology to bring it up to where it should have been and should be for the last little while. And I think that we will find ourselves, you folks will find yourselves in a much better position in the Attorney General's office as well as corporate clients and individuals when they make presentations to be able to have the tools there to do an effective presentation. And that should be accomplished within the first quarter of the year 2014.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Conover? Well, I'd just like to add my my thanks as well to Denny Lytle and the folks from the Property Tax Division. I was able to attend quite a bit of the assessor school, and in Everyone I talked to was very pleased with it, thought it was very valuable use of their time, and the sessions that I attended I thought were very helpful. I particularly enjoyed the presentation on integrity from Quinn McKay, Dr. McKay. Very interesting and thought-provoking discussion, and thank you for all you do in putting that that school together. I know it's a significant amount of work, and well,
that's a good thing.
Express your our gratitude to your staff and our gratitude to you for staying out of their way. any reports from the commissioners? I will make a brief report. We had a week-long hearing on a property tax matter, and in conjunction with that, and based on some information we received at a continuing legal education seminar recently, Commissioner Cragen thought it might be nice to sponsor a discussion of civility in the context of our hearing procedures, and we have just come from a discussion of that with members of the private bar and some members of the Attorney General's office and some folks representing the county, and I thought it was a very productive and positive experience, and I'd like to thank Commissioner Cragen for putting that together.
Mr. Chairman, can I just add really quickly? I didn't get a chance to do it before. I agree with you, and I appreciate the efforts to look at civility overall as a part of our hearings process, and I think it's not only attorneys who we don't have really a lot of attorneys who appear before us, it's the majority of it is really citizens or some professional or another, but civility as part of our hearing process is really important, so I appreciate the efforts to initiate that full dialogue. If I could, Mr. Chairman, I also want to thank our executive director, Mr. Conover, on working with us on just some items in our hearing rooms that needed to be addressed. Sometimes it's the operation side of what we do is so important, which is what our executive director oversees. But the hearing process is the place where citizens can have their concerns addressed, and sometimes the oral record's really important that it be preserved, and we've had problems with the equipment, and it's just, I think we all try to make sure that we just do what we can with what we have, but times things do get old, and they do have a tendency to jeopardize the ability of the effectiveness of the hearing process, and our executive director has understood that, and I just really appreciate him having his staff work with Krista so well and get all of that done. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, at this point, we have a couple of matters before us involving some litigation. So at this point, I think I would entertain a motion to go into closed session.
Chairman, I move that we go into closed session to discuss pending litigation.
And for Mr. Miller, who is on the phone, Max, we will come back and report on that, but I suspect that would just be a minute of report. So I don't know if you want us to call you back when we come out of closed session, or if you're comfortable and. About 45 minutes to an hour.
Then I don't think I'll stick on the phone for 45 minutes.
Okay, the minutes are public, and so any action that's taken when we come back from closed session that will be on the record, and those minutes would be available. I don't see any problem with that at all. Any concerns about that?
No.
Nope, that would be fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Bye.
Probably need to take a vote on the motion.
Ah, we need to take a vote on the motion to go into closed session. All in favor, say aye.
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 That motion passes. We will go into closed session. Thank you very much, everyone. Okay, it is approximately 8 minutes after 3 on Monday, December 9th. This is the special commission meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. We are coming back into open session after being in closed session to discuss two litigation matters with our attorneys. In the first matter, we received a status report on the Alliant Tech Systems Supreme Court case. There's a briefing schedule, which we've been advised of. No action is required by the Tax Commission at this time. The second case is Sprint Spectrum versus Auditing Division, which is a district court case noted in the agenda. The decision in that case by the district court was adverse to the Tax Commission. After discussion of the merits of the case, the risks of litigation, a decision was made that the Tax Commission will not ask the Attorney General to file a notice of appeal in that case. So we will not appeal the decision in Sprint. Any questions on that matter? Any additional information?
I make a slight correction. No decisions have been made. The recommendation that we received is not to appeal. We still need to have a motion.
That's correct. We did not decide that. Thank you for that correction. Please.
I make a motion that we direct the Attorney General's office to not file an appeal on behalf of the Tax Commission in Sprint Spectrum versus Auditing Division.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Commissioner Gregan correctly notes we did not take action in the closed session and indeed cannot take action in the closed session. So it was important to have that motion and decision on the record in the public hearing. And I appreciate that correction. Is there anything else to come before the Tax Commission at this point?
No. Will we adjourn?
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
That motion passes unanimously. We agree with